Your Bibles. Now I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. Now, the message tonight, it's one of those as we start into the missions conference and we think about missions. This is a message that God placed on my heart last year. And it's a message. I preached a series of messages. Pastor had asked me about preaching out of the book of Daniel. And he actually asked me to preach on family convictions, and I chose, and the Lord led me into a series out of Daniel. Then this one came out of that series as God began to speak to my heart, and so I want to kind of look at it, and it might be a little unusual, but I think you'll see how it ties in when we see what the Lord has laid on our heart there. Daniel chapter 1. And if you are able to physically, would you stand in honor of God's word as we read? Very familiar passage of Scripture. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 of Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Let me stop. I want to encourage you, learn their Hebrew names. They glorify the God of Israel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's about the Babylonian gods. That's the names Nebuchadnezzar gave them. And so it's just a challenge there. Just learn them as in their Hebrew names. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, go over to chapter 3, and another account here that I want you to see, and then we'll come back and tie them in here. In Daniel chapter 3, we have the story. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for sake of time, but Nebuchadnezzar made his image of gold, set it up in the plains of Dura, and proclaimed that everybody must bow down and worship this image. Of course, when the music played, there was 3 Hebrew young men that did not bow down. So therefore they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to give them a second chance. But we pick up their answer to him in verse number 16. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I love this. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Either way, we're going to be delivered out of your hand. Whether he delivers us from the fiery furnace or whether we go through the fiery furnace, we're going to be delivered from you. He says in verse 18, But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Father, I pray now you would bless. Help us to bring out those things and truths that you want brought out, Lord. And just use them in each of our hearts and lives tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As I was studying through Daniel and preparing those messages, I got to thinking about these 4 Hebrew young men. 4 Hebrew young men that took a stand. Daniel kept taking a stand. He ages through the book of Daniel and becomes an elderly man and serves under several kings, but he still stands for his God. The same is true of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I thought to myself, number one, there was more than 4 young men brought over into Babylon, no doubt. They were not the only four brought. I believe there was more than that. But these four men are mentioned because these young men took a stand. And they took a stand for their God. And the question came to me. Did that just happen right there when they were faced with it? Or did something happen before they ever went to Babylon in captivity? And I think the answer is somebody had prepared them for a time such as this. Somebody had been involved in their life. Somebody had saw to it that they had some understanding of not only God, but understanding of His Word. Somebody, we don't know who, whether it was parents, whether it was grandparents, whether it was a priest at the temple, we don't know who it was, and it could have been all of those that had been involved in their lives, that when they came to this place that they had to take a stand, somebody had done something to prepare them. But as I got to looking at this, a word came to me. A word that, as I read Nebuchadnezzar's plan, look what he says right here. Verse 5 of chapter 1. And the king appointed them a daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. The word that I thought about as I looked at this was the word assimilation. Assimilation. There was a 3-year assimilation plan that Nebuchadnezzar had set forth. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to look up, get Webster's dictionary down, I'm going to look up this word assimilation, assimilation, and see what it is. Here's the definition it says. To take in and incorporate as one's own. To absorb. To bring into conformity with the customs, attitudes, etc. of a group, nation, or the like. To adapt. To cause to resemble. To liken to. Or to become absorbed. To conform or adjust to certain customs. Or physiologically, to convert food to substances suitable for incorporation into the body and its tissues. Assimilation. Here's what Nebuchadnezzar's plan was. We're going to bring these young people over here, and in 3 years' time, we're going to turn them into Babylonians. They're going to come and stand before me, and when they come and stand before me, you're not going to tell that they came out of Israel. You're not going to tell anything. They're going to act, they're going to talk, they're going to look, they're going to do everything just like the Babylonians do and the Chaldeans. That was his statement that he made. And I got to thinking about that. You know what? These young men right here were ripped from a culture that they were familiar with and thrust into a totally different world. They were taken from the God of Israel unto a land that had multiple gods. They were taken to a land where they did not understand the language. They were taken to a land where totally everything was different in their lives. They were taken away from their parents and their family, and they were put into the king's house to be kept and to be taken care of. They were put into this culture that they might be absorbed by the culture and become like the culture they live. Let me stop right here and say this. We have not, in America, we have not been carried away captive to another country. But I'm telling you, we are captive to a culture. And the devil has an assimilation plan. He has worked this, and not only in America, it's all over the world. We're talking about missions. The devil is out to ruin and wreck and destroy as many lives as he can. And here's the question. How can we help? What can we do to stop this assimilation process? What can we do to be of help like somebody was to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah?
So if you permit me, I want to answer a few of the questions that I asked myself. Number one, I thought, how
were they prepared in order that they could come to this place and take that stand? Number one, They had been taught that they could have a relationship with a living God. They had been taught that they could have a relationship with a true and living God. These young people here, if you look, we won't take time, but you can check it out for yourself. He wasn't just a God. He wasn't just the God. But you'll find in Revelation chapter 3, when they gave the answer to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "Our God." Daniel said, "My God." You see, it was personal. They knew who God was. They had a relationship with Him. And I'm going to tell you why. The only way we'll stop the assimilation process of the world and the devil is we have got to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. We've got to get it so that they know that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That He is a God that loves them and cares about them. And He so loved them that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, we live even in America now in a multi-God culture anymore. And we hear all about the tolerance and saying, well, listen, everybody's trying to get to heaven. They're just going by different ways. But Jesus said in John 14:6, there are not different ways. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father Amen. But by me.
Amen.
You see, they need to be told that. Whether here in America, whether in Japan, or all these flags represent these countries or missionaries. You know what the missionary's job is? It's to preach Jesus Christ so they can come to a personal relationship and know that God that loves them so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And to know Jesus Christ that was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and die. You see, these young men, it wasn't just a God. He was their God. And they had come to the place of knowing Him and having a real relationship with Him. You know what? I'm glad that somebody told me about Jesus Christ and I got saved. But I'm going to tell you, when we get saved, that's when the relationship begins. And our relationship should be growing. Amen? In February, right before my wife had the surgery, we celebrated our 42nd wedding anniversary. And you know what? We're still learning things about one another. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about in here? 42 years. And things change, don't they? And as a result, our relationship, as far as I'm concerned, you ask my wife, hopefully for her it's the same way, but hey, listen, it gets better. And because the more we get to know one another, the more we can be close and share that love. And it's the same thing true with Jesus Christ. The closer we get to Him, the more we'll love Him, and the more we'll sense His love for us, if we'll just do that. These young men here, they were taught, somebody, when they were younger, had taught them they could have a relationship with the true and living God. Secondly, somebody had to teach them the law, or the Word of God, if you please, the law of that living God. Somebody told them what it said. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Decker? Well, somebody had made an effort to teach them what God said in His Word, because number one, why did Daniel say we don't want to eat the king's meat? Because they didn't want to eat meat that was offered to idols. They did not want to eat those things that they had been told not to eat in the Levitical diet. They had been told, hey, here's how we're to live, and this is what we're to do, and we're not going to bow down to any other god. Why did they do that? Because thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the God, that I am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Somebody had taught them. They knew this book right here. And I'm going to tell you, the only way to stop the assimilation process is to get this word right here out. Not only to preach the gospel, but to teach it. Amen? To teach what this book says. And that's what it is. The ministry that, and brother, I'm not going to try to say your name right now. Hopefully I'll learn it. But he was talking about teaching. And why? Because, hey, we need to teach them. This is God's word. And this is what they need to know. Why? So when the day comes that they have to take a stand, they know, hey, listen, they're not standing on fables. They're not standing on men's stories. They're standing on the Word of God. They had been taught the Word of God. And so somebody, hey, listen, we've got to teach the Word of God. That's what missions is all about. It's getting the Word of God out. It's getting folks saved and then teaching them. Matthew 28. That's exactly what it says. Go, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And once they're saved and we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, we're to teach them those things. And so it's part of it. So the assimilation process, I believe, stopped because they had a personal relationship. And they had been taught the law of the living God. And thirdly, somebody had shown them what it meant to live for God. Somebody had shown them what it meant to live for God. Here they were carried over here captive. They were brought into this strange country. But they still endeavored to live for God. Y'all remember Daniel later on? What was his custom that he did every day? Pray three times a day. And his enemies, the only thing they could ever get against Daniel was his worship of his God. But he did it. He continued to do it. Why? Because they knew their life was important. Day to day, they lived a life before everybody around them. They knew it was more than just words. There had to be some action behind those words. And so as a result, they practiced it in their day-to-day life. They lived the Lord before others. And I believe they did that because somebody else had demonstrated that and showed them how that was to be done. And folks, that's what we've got to do. We that are saved, we're to be demonstrating the love of Christ every day in our lives. Why? By the way we conduct ourselves. You know, one thing I noticed about these young men here, they had a good spirit about it. They had a good attitude. You notice here, even though they opposed King Nebuchadnezzar and they would not bow down, did you notice in the way they answered him, they were still respectful of this position? Even though they didn't agree with him, O King is a respectful title. When they said that, they were saying, you know what? We're not bowing down because that's the position we're taking because of our God. But O King, hey, we want you to know our God's able to deliver us, and he can deliver us. But either way, we're still not bowing down to your enemies. And they were doing that with the right attitude and the right spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you can go back again and look it up, and every time their position was challenged, God provided for them. God took care of them. And when they came out on the other side, here was the declaration that was made. The God of Daniel, he is the God. And the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he is God. And nobody is to talk bad. I put it in my own words about their God. And why? Because they had demonstrated their faith. They had demonstrated what they believed. They had demonstrated what their God was all about, even in their attitude and in their day-to-day lives. You know, folks, we meet people every day, and they need to see Jesus living in us. Amen. By our attitude, amen? You ever ran into anybody that you could just sense the attitude before anything else? I mean, it just kind of jumped out all over you. I went through mine one day in the store, and I was going through this line, and I wasn't even paying attention. I was just sitting in a little course. And when I walked up there at the line, and I was just not loud, just kind of, you know. And the checkout lady said there, "So much, you're happy today." And I kind of stopped because I wasn't even paying attention. And I said, "What'd you say?" And she said, "Well, I heard you saying it." So I said, "Please, so much." "Well, I'm glad for you." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I'm happy only because this is the day the Lord has made. And I'll rejoice and be glad in it." I said, "You know, as a Christian, I've got something I can sing about regardless of what they are." Yeah. Yeah. And she looked at me and she said, "I'm sorry." She said, "I guess I'll be singing instead of feeling the way I do." And I said, "Well, sometimes it helps." You know what? People are watching us. They're listening to us, just like they did Daniel, just like they did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were always keeping an eye on them. They were always watching out. And I'm going to tell you, they lived that life. They demonstrated their love for their God before their enemies, before those adversaries. And by doing that, they were a good testimony, and they were showing their faith and that they believed in their God and trusted Him to take care of them. And that's what they did. Their lives were their testimonies and the proof of their living God. Their lives were the proof of their living God. But you know what? When God delivered them, as he did in the fiery furnace, as he did Daniel in the lion's den, as he did, when every time something took place, it was an open testimony to their faith. An open testimony to what they believed. Did you know exercising our faith causes our faith to grow? Exercising our faith also causes others to see it. Did you know what missions is all about? Faith Promise Missions Conference is about exercising our faith. Not so we can say, well, we did. No, it's so that wherever the gospel is carried around the world, we're exercising our faith to try to stop the assimilation process. You see, Nebuchadnezzar's plan was this.
We're going to bring these young people down here, and we're going to get them down here, and we're going to teach them. We're going to provide for them. We're going to do, and I'm going to get into that just a little bit more here in just a second. But what we want to do is we want to make this so that they don't even realize exactly what's going on in their life. Did you know the assimilation process, for the most part, is something that takes place without ever noticing? Now, I read physiologically, the assimilation is what happens when we eat food. And you know, if you eat fried chicken, your blood cells and your body tissues can't really do anything with that fried chicken as fried chicken. Amen? Or else we'd have fried chicken sticking out of our feet. But when it enters your body, you don't even think about it. But our bodies are so made that it begins to break down that food into various minerals and vitamins and all that. And then it assimilates it. It turns it into what we need for our bodies to function. But when's the last time, after you ate supper, you went in the living room and sat down in your favorite chair, maybe got the remote in your hand, and you said, well, there it goes, it's assimilating now. You know why? Because it happens without noticing it, unless something gets out of whack. But other than that, it just happens. It just takes place, and it's so subtle in what it does. Are you getting the picture I'm making spiritually? That's how the devil in the world works. It's a subtle attack, and a lot of times people don't even realize what's happening to them. They don't realize that the world and the devil is trying to assimilate him into a culture, become part of a culture. And can I tell you, let me just go one step further. My concerns in the past year, a couple of years, and just observing things as I travel from place to place, it's not only happening to lost people, but it's happening to saved people who are being assimilated and pulled away from God and pulled out of church, and the next thing you know, they're back in the world and the culture has assimilated. And we don't even realize it. Sometimes they don't even realize it until it's too late. And so, our process, our job, is to try to stop this process. I got to thinking about it. How does that happen? How is the devil, how is the world trying to do this assimilation? Well, look at the plan of Nebuchadnezzar and that'll tell us. Number one, they had to assimilate them. In order to assimilate them, they had to change their thinking. They had to change their thinking. They had to quit thinking about the God of Israel. And they tried to get their mind on the things of Babylon. They had to get their mind off the things back home and get their mind over here on what lay ahead. Nebuchadnezzar said, we've got to change our thinking. I'm going to tell you, we live in a world, number one, change our thinking. Quit thinking about the things of God and think about the material. Think about all the other aspects of life. But quit thinking about everything we do, folks. Let's be honest. It's not pointless to God. Everything in this world does not glorify God and does not point people to God. We live in a day and time when it does exactly the opposite, trying to pull away from God. Change the thinking. Nebuchadnezzar said, we'll bring them over here. We'll get them exposed to Babylon. When we get them into Babylon, they'll get the light. By the way, it was a beautiful place. It was a very beautiful, I mean, the hanging garden, all, there was all kinds of things, and it was a beautiful place. And
there was a lot of wealth in Babylon. And so they get over there. So he said, we got to change their way of thinking. And then they had to change their way of provision. King said, let's bring them, put them in the palace. Just tell them they don't have to worry about anything anymore. If they'll just trust me as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, I'll provide everything they need. They'll have the best of food. They'll have the best of drink. They'll have the best of clothes. They'll have the best of accommodation. All they got to do is just trust me. Trust Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, does that sound like some of the devil that said it so many times? Oh, listen, if you look out here in this world, I'll tell you what, you can have it. You have so much for you to have. You can just come out here and you can get, you know, I have read different stories of people and some in the entertainment field, and you know what, some of the singers, and you know where a lot of them start singing? Church.
Yeah.
And somebody told them, well, you've got a great voice. Man, you can make a lot of money. Well, you ought to go to some place they tell the world, like, you know, you could just make a lot of money. And the next thing you know, they got their eyes off of God. They got their eyes on the world.
That's right.
And they said, boy, the things I can have. Well, I can have a lot of things. Problem is those things don't last. Those things can't provide what they really need, but that's the assimilation process. You see, Nebuchadnezzar said, give them the best of the king's meat. Give them the best of the king's wine. Let them know that, hey, if they'll just do what we want them to do, man, the sky is the limit. They can have anything. And you know what? Young people and adults alike are falling for that line, hook, line, and sinker, and are being assimilated. Third, let's change their language. Let's teach them the tongue of the Chaldeans. Will you agree with me that this world has its own language? And it's continually changing. They now have a dictionary of urban slang. Urban slang. And you know what they do? A lot of them, they take words that are well-meaning words and turn them into something that does not have a good meaning. I'm talking beyond the vulgarity. I'm just talking about a language. And as a result, hey, listen, that's one of their ways. Because they didn't want to come over here talking in Hebrew. Because Hebrew was the language of the children of Israel. And when they spoke Hebrew, it would remind them of home and of God and those things. And so they said, we can't have them speak in Hebrew. We've got to learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. So even when they talk, their language will speak of Babylon and the world and not of God. Check the language out of our world. It's all around us. Can I tell you something? Things that would have shocked us 50 years ago, 25 years ago, 15 years ago, sad to say, was accepted.
Right, right.
Why? Because of the assimilation process. And then, another part of that assimilation process, let's change their worship. Let's change their worship. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give them a God, one of them, that suits them. They don't have to follow this narrow-minded God of the Hebrews who has so much. No. I tell you what. We'll make gods. And we'll give them so they can have religion. Understand, folks, the devil does not mind religion. As a matter of fact, he will provide religion. And when I say religion, I'm talking about a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And we live in a day and time when people talk about, hey, I'm going to worship. But a lot of times that word worship does not mean the biblical term worship. You see what Nebuchadnezzar did? He had them come into this big plains of Dura, and then he had the music play, and the music was preparatory. And what it meant was, when you hear the music and you bow down, worship the image. And so they were giving them a form of worship, but then just left God out. It was idolatry, is what it was. I'm telling you, folks, it's happening today. That's why we need missionaries preaching the gospel who still worship God the way it ought to be done.
That's why it's important that we don't give up and that we realize there's a need not only in America but all around the world, because we live in a religiously lost world. All kinds of religions. But the problem is it leaves people empty and causes them to spend eternity in hell. We need to reach them with the gospel. The assimilation process was taking place.
You know what? Somebody in these four young men's life made a difference that they did not get assimilated. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get what he wanted. As a matter of fact, they had an influence and changed where they were at rather than the other way around. That's what we need today. Amen? That's what we need. Can I tell you? Somebody stood in my own house and started the assimilation process. As a teenager, when I was pointed to Jesus Christ, can I tell you this? Even after I got saved, there's others that stood in the way of me being caught up in the assimilation process. Emily, would you help me? I asked the pastor. I'm going to blame it on him. He said you'd be a volunteer who wouldn't mind helping me. Would you come help me out with an illustration? You just happened to walk through the door when I asked him for a volunteer. He said, that girl right there, she'll love it. You're a senior?
I am.
I'm a senior.
You know what? The devil in the world has his crosshairs and he's part of it. Emily and others like her. Especially the young people. Understand, the devil wants to destroy lives, so the younger he can get, but let me tell you this, not only lost, but more so the Christian young people. They would like nothing more, Emily, than going to life for Christ. I don't care the bad guy for a moment here. Hopefully I got something in here. I got 5 bucks here. Now I know it's not much on the world market today, but for a preacher, $5. Emily, I'm going to give you this $5, but in order for you to get this $5, here's what you got to do. Quit coming to church. You got to promise to quit coming to church. You got to promise you'll quit reading the Bible. You got to promise you'll quit listening to your parents and obeying them. I'll give you this $5 if you'll promise to quit having anything to do with God or God's business. I'm glad you gave the right answer. We have not met. Andrew, I'm done with the people you had right now. Now let me have you stand kind of like right here, kind of face out this way, but not right side. That's good, okay. Let's see here, man. Hey, Brother Richardson, would you come out with me? Okay. Hello? When I preach, you go by the say.
You didn't say this was going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Another thing. Your parents, back here, right there. Dad, how about you come down? Okay. Dad, you stand right here, if you would. Kind of right here. We're still need to see Emily, but you stand in front of her. I want you in front of her. There you go. Preacher, you stand right here on this other side of her. Out in front of both of them, okay? Now we're making a staggering line, okay? Let's see. Sunday school teacher. Is there a Sunday school teacher here? Brother, come on. Okay. Stand right here in front of Dad, but out here, you know, we're respect. Come on up here. I don't want to. I'll be back. Let's see. I just need a volunteer to represent all of the church family. Just somebody. Who can you be willing to volunteer? Somebody come up here, I've got a bill to represent all the family. You and Bill, get on paper, all right, come on. That's it. Hey,
that's better.
This line just a little longer. That's good, right there. All right, Emily, see me back there, right? Okay, but you don't have to worry about me because Andrew's playing the bed down now, okay? You can see him and you can hear him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now I want you to see this because, remember, the devil's plan is to assimilate. He's going to do whatever he can to incorporate and to absorb and to make them a part of. That's happening all over. Okay? Understand that. Somebody has got to stop the plan. Somebody's got to stand in the way. Somebody's got to keep that from happening. Okay? All right. Go ahead, Andrew. You do what I was doing.
Hamlin, he said you didn't want the $5.
Remember what he's saying. His rules, well, those conditions are the same as mine.
Yeah, I didn't think $5 was much either. So let's, how about 20 with that? 20, 25 sound good to you?
Yes, sir.
You want to take that? Okay. Well, I've always got more. So let's see. How about this? Your credit card has all you ever want.
Now, the Schumer said this, folks. The devil has a lot of things in front of him. Oh, he can make it sound so good. Oh, you can have this. You can have that. If you'll just do what we want you to do. If you'll just let us assimilate you. You can just come on over and you can have it. And I'm going to tell you what. We better watch it ourselves. Nobody is immune to this. And it can happen. But somewhere we've got to have somebody. So, you're representing the whole church family, brother. Now, let's say just somebody in the church family says, you know what? I'm tired of going to church. I'm just tired. I mean, I think I got other things I want to do. And no need me going to church on Sunday and missions conference and all that stuff like that. And so you just quit church. So thank you, brother. You have some. Folks, don't ever think your place is not important in the church family. There's people watching you that you can influence in this church family right here. There's people that know you. There's young people especially that watch you. You may not know that, but they know who you are. They have their eyes on you. And if you quit, your son's your teacher. And Brother Bradley, I hope this never happens, dear brother. There might come a day when you say, I'm tired of teaching him. You know what? I'm going to let somebody else do it. I'm tired of doing that. I'm just going to get rid of it. Let me see. Sunday school teachers, don't ever underestimate your job. Don't underestimate what you need to do for the Lord. Pastor, preacher, every pastor's job is to stand in the gap and stop the assimilation process. By preaching the gospel and by teaching the Word of God and being there to try to encourage in the ways of serving God. But believe it or not, you and I both know that in March, preachers quit. They mess up. Do things in their life that they shouldn't do. Hopefully that'll never happen. Oh, by the way, are y'all noticing what's happening every time somebody steps there? Dad, you're kind of the stopgap here in things. So because Dad, as parents, God gives us responsibility. And you know what's sad? But through the years of ministry, what's your first name? I'm sorry.
Chris.
I should have known it. Chris. You know, I've seen in the ministry, Brother Chris, where parents just decided, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of living for the Lord. I'm tired of trying to teach them what to do. Just get rebellious. Emily, you just do what you want to do. Preacher, you ready for another four? What just happened now? Have you noticed? She has become open territory. She has become right here. You know what, Emily? Hopefully, that'll never happen. But you'll always have people there standing in the gap to keep the assimilation process happening. Can I tell you something, Emily? When it all is said and done, you still got a choice in the matter. You see, it's still like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel. You know what? They were away from their parents. They could have said, oh, why don't we take the easy road? I'm not going like everybody else. Everybody else got a they were not going to become a part of that culture and be devastated so they couldn't serve everybody. Go sit down. We're done. That's the point after we're done. Here's what it's all about, folks. You see, I personally believe one soul. You can't put a value on one soul. One soul, not only one soul, one life. One life. We've got to come back around. God's people realizing we've got to get in there now. We've got to stop the assimilation process. We're losing too many to the world. We're losing too many to culture because we're saying, hey, I'm tired. I just can't do it anymore. And we step out of the picture, and when we do, we open the door up and we lose many more. Now, mind you, they have a choice in the matter, but it's a whole lot easier when there's somebody standing in front of you to say no than it is when they're standing right here. And you got to deal all by yourself. Folks that are there. You know what? Somebody needs you tonight. Somebody that you stand in that gap. We've got to quit losing to the world. We've got to stop this assimilation. How do we do it? The same way they get it built. Teach them that they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Teach them the Word of God. Show them by living day by day what it means to be a Christian. And help them so they can take a stand and live for God in their life. And when the old devil comes around, I used this illustration down in Georgia. And the young lady, she was 12, her great-grandfather was there. And I used her great-grandfather to represent grandparents. I didn't do that tonight. You may have had a grandparent here. I don't know if you had a grandparent. Oh, okay. Well, they had a great-grandparent. And I had him up here, and I said, go sit down. He said, uh-uh. And I said, yeah, you've given up. He said, I have not. I got to the Sunday school teacher who had taught for many, many years. And the other lady, she did the same. When I went to her, she backed up back here. And she just grabbed a hold of her. And I said, wait a minute, you gotta go sit down. I don't think I want to. I said, well, glory to God. But for the sake of illustration. But you know what? Seriously, that's the way it ought to be for us. I'm not backing off. I'm not sitting down. I'm not using it. Why? Because it means that much. Now, you know, will you do your best by God's help and grace to be faithful in the church, from the church? Will you read about it? Will you honor your mom and dad to the extent? Will you just seek to please the Lord in your life? Check that out. Remember the same thing. Whatever the devil offers, it's got to go see. He'll get it back much, much more. But what God gives you, all good and perfect gifts come from above. And he gives you something. You don't have to worry about the goods. He does not have to watch. He cares about you.
And you know what, folks? This week, all around our country, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, others, somebody needs somebody to stand in the gap. You say, well, how can I stand in the gap for somebody in Japan or one of these other countries? That's what missions is all about. When we support the missionaries so they can go to that country and stand in the gap and stop the assimilation process of people wherever they're living. Because I'm sure he can tell you in Japan they're being assimilated into a culture that's anti-God. And they need it. So what's all about this week? Stopping the assimilation process. Being effective.